in prayer as I pray a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Lord God, as we come now to your word to us in Scripture, we pray for the blessing of your Holy Spirit. May your Spirit inspire the words of this good book, the words of my mouth, and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they may be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Through this time of study and consideration, we pray, O God, that you would further instruct us in your ways. Help us to better understand your love and your call on our lives. So all this we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture passage comes from Acts chapter 2. Listen for God's holy word. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." To those who welcomed his message, those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains and abides. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say. According to the book of Acts, this story that we have just read follows Peter's first sermon. Jesus had come, he had lived, he had died on the cross, he had risen on Easter Sunday, and he had ascended. And he had left the apostles to continue his work in the world. Jesus had done what he promised. He had sent the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit inspired Peter and the other apostles to preach. They stood up in Jerusalem. And they did what Jesus had commanded. They shared the good news. They let people know about God, about God's love, about God, what God had been doing in and through Jesus Christ. They let people know that Jesus was God's special servant, that he had come to bless the world, not to condemn the world, to show God's love, but that the world had rejected him. They had arrested him and killed him. But even this, Peter explained, even the people's best attempts to do away with God's special servant were for naught. For God had raised Jesus. Not so that he could bring wrath and condemnation or to destroy, but so that Jesus could show forgiveness and love and acceptance. Jesus came and lived and died and rose again to free people from their sins, to give them new lives, accepted by God, loved by his Son, and filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. People heard Peter's words, and they responded. Did they ever respond? Now, not everyone responded. Some were left unmoved. But many did hear the message. Many did find that through Peter's words, they believed that God loved them. They believed that Jesus was their Lord and Savior. They believed that God was calling them to new lives of peace and service, empowered by the Spirit. And so many joined with the apostles and Jesus' other early followers. According to the book of Acts, 3,000 people came to faith and were baptized and joined together in that early Christian community. Reading this passage and thinking about it, it is amazing. It's amazing to hear about. And it must have been astounding to the apostles. It must have been jaw-dropping to preach and to see people respond, to see people have faith and to grow in their faith, to see people interested in joining together with them and the work that they were doing. The book of Acts depicts that the members of this Christian community moved full swing into lives, lived out of this new faith, this new calling that God had given them. I see this new life falling into generally two categories in the passage. There was the way that people thought about and treated their tangible resources, and the way they thought about and treated their time. This is a famous passage, Acts chapter 2. It's famous for the dramatic financial picture that is cast for this early Christian community. The author tells us that people held all their possessions in common. And that others, or the same people, they sold what they had, their possessions and their goods, in order to give assistance to all who were in need. It seems that the connections of the community were strong among this early expression of what we call the church. People realized then, as we do now, that what we have is given to us from God. Coming to faith in Jesus Christ illumined in people the belief and the conviction that all they had, their money, their possessions, their property, it came from God, and it was for God's work and God's service. People realized that God had been generous to them with their salvation and their lives. God had forgiven their sins. God had welcomed them into new life as adopted children with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so as God had been generous with them, so they were generous with one another. As amazing as this witness is about how people were treating their money and their possessions, it is perhaps even more amazing how the transformation brought about by faith affected people's time and the way they prioritized their time. The author of Acts is clear that people not only approached their tangible resources in new ways, but they were transformed in how they used their time. They used their time to listen to the apostles' teaching. The author of Acts says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were new Christians. They had a lot of learning to do. They wanted to learn about Jesus' teaching and make Him a guide for their new lives. God's ways were a bit mysterious and challenging. So they made time, they devoted themselves to listening to the apostles as the apostles shared Jesus' parables and listened to the apostles repeating what Jesus had said in His teaching. And as the apostles shared stories about how Jesus lived His life, the actions that He took, the things that He did, and the example that He gave. People devoted their time to listening to the apostles explain how Jesus had fulfilled God's promises. And they listened to the promises that still remained. But life in that early community wasn't just about sitting around and learning. We're also told that people devoted their time to fellowship. God's mission carried out by Jesus was all about bringing people together into community. God was about reconciliation, forgiveness, and love. So the first Christians, they practiced fellowship. They got together. They partied. They shared their lives around tables of food and times of joyful communion. We're also told that they spent time in worship and prayer. They spent time returning thanks to God. They spent time offering up their concerns and their troubles before God. They sang songs. They prayed prayers. These were the new priorities of their lives. These were the things for which they made time in their lives. Our passage ends with an equally amazing note, that as the early Christian followers expressed their generosity and lived these new lives according to their new priorities, God continued to add daily those who were being saved. It's a wonderful thing to hear as well, that as they lived out this new life, God continued to bring new people into their community. Well, as I studied and considered this passage this week, I was struck by how grateful I was to see that in our own ways, in perhaps small ways, but significant ways, our experience here at the Blauenberg Church mirrors the experience of that early church community depicted in Acts chapter 2. In Acts, Peter and the apostles share the gospel. They share the good news, and people respond. They receive the good news, and they join together with the apostles and the other Christian followers of Jesus. Guess what? We too, in the last couple of years, have seen new people join us here at the Blauenberg Reformed Church. We, as a community, we've been doing our best to share the good news, to share what we know and what we've experienced of God's love and God's forgiveness. We have been doing our best to let people know about the blessings that we receive here in this place. And we've been doing our best to invite people to know that they can come and have a place here as well, to receive the message that they are loved and accepted by God. We've been doing our best, led and empowered by God's Spirit, just as the apostles were, to share the good news. And do you know what? People have responded. People have responded. People have been joining our church. We have had many people come and join us for worship and fellowship opportunities. And 14 people have officially joined our church since last spring. Now, we might cynically point out that 14 people is nowhere near 3,000 people. And that's true. But I will tell you that I praise God and am amazed by the growth that we have seen and the ways that God has blessed us and this community through the presence and the gifts of our newest members. Like Peter and the apostles, we are sharing the good news. And by God's Spirit, that good news is being heard and received. And as I studied this passage and thought about that this week, I was grateful. Grateful and amazed by God's grace. As we have joined our lives together, I also celebrate the ways that the gospel message has come to expression in our lives as it came to expression in the lives of that early Christian community. The passage from the book of Acts, we hear about people selling all their possessions, holding things in common. And we might not be in a position or a situation to follow their example perfectly as they did. But I do celebrate the generosity of this church community. This is a place where people give of their resources. It is a place where people share what they have, and they help to provide for those who are in need. Like the early church, this is a church that understands that what we have comes to us from God. Like the early church, we understand that what we have, our homes, our possessions, our finances, they have been given to us so that we can use them to show love and blessings to others. Is there more that we could do to be generous to those in times of need? Yes, there will always be more that we could do. But as I read this passage this week and thought about our church community, I was grateful. Grateful and amazed for the generosity of this church. In our day, and in our era in which we are living, it is probably a greater challenge for us to follow the model given in the passage for how it is that we prioritize and spend our time. We live in a very busy world. We live in a very busy time where it seems there is always more and more things demanding our time and our attention and insisting that we pay attention to it instead of maybe some of the other things that we know are higher priorities. That being the case, It is also true that, like that early Christian community described in Acts chapter 2, this is a place where people devote themselves to the things that they know are uplifting and beneficial and faithful and good. We devote ourselves to study here in this place. Many in this community gather for Bible study, to seek further to hear and to understand the gospel message. We seek to know God, to hear God's call. We seek to understand what it means to be loving, what it means to be good, what it means to make beauty in this world. We seek to understand what God would have us to do with our lives. This is a church that devotes itself to fellowship, to times to be together, to share our lives. We seek opportunities to share meals, to join our lives together, to bear one another's burdens, and to share in each other's joys. We understand that the mission of God is a mission of reconciliation. God's mission is a mission of building and gathering community. And so for this reason, we find time, we prioritize time to be together and to exchange and to live in the peace of Christ. The members of this church community, like the members of that early Christian community described in Acts chapter 2, we prioritize our time. This week, as I studied our passage, I felt God calling me to preach a sermon of celebration. At times, Scripture challenges us. At times, as I study Scripture, I hear God comforting us. At times, as I study Scripture, I hear and feel God inspiring us. At times, when I study our Scripture passage, I feel God calling us to times of confession or contrition. At times, as our Scripture passage, as I study it and think about it, and especially this week, I feel God calling us to celebrate. To celebrate and to give gratitude. I am grateful. I am grateful as God gathered a church in Jerusalem around the preaching and the teaching of the apostles. So I am grateful that God has gathered a church here in Blauenberg around the teaching of those same apostles, preserved for us through the words of Scripture and our Reformed tradition. As God inspired that first community to be generous, to share their lives with one another, as God inspired that first community to devote themselves to that which was good and beneficial for their lives and for their world, so I feel God moving in me to give thanks that God has worked among us to make us a community of generosity, to help us to set our priorities, our time, and our energies on those things which are good and right and faithful and beautiful. Could we do better? Yeah, we could. We always could. But that's a sermon for another day. Today, we celebrate what God has done and what God has given us through this church. Our passage ends with a note about God's continued work among the early Christian community. Our passage ends with a sense of continuity, of God's continued action and provision for the church. The author of Acts tells us that day by day God added to their number those who were being saved. So I trust and I pray that God will do for us as well. As we seek to be faithful, as we seek to listen to God's call, as we seek to follow God's leading in our lives and in the life of this church community, so I trust and I pray that God will continue to help us to reach out and to help others know that they too are called to have a place in this church community, to know that they too are loved and accepted by God, and that the salvation of Jesus Christ is theirs. Thanks be to God. Amen.